All right, I want to start tonight by just sharing a little update about our ministry and some of the things the Lord's been doing. We have had more of a relaxing... Actually, that's not a good way to start at all. It's not been relaxing. A kind of a downtime the last several months, but we've still been very busy. Back in the beginning of 2017, we saw several things on our to-do list with just our home and our family and the responsibilities at camp that we felt we really need to dedicate some time to these things if we're ever going to make some progress. And so we thought back at the beginning of 2017, well, we'll leave about the last quarter of 2017 open for those for that purpose. And it was kind of scary doing that, not scheduling any meetings or anything, but just instead scheduling those for 2018, whatever may come in, or even further out, and just then seeing what the Lord would do and how He would provide. And I've tried to share a little bit of God's goodness to us over the last few months, probably back when we were together for Thanksgiving or time like that. But God has just been amazing. It's something to take a step of faith, take God at His word, and then just see Him provide and do miracles. And over the last several months, my family and I have definitely seen some in the Lord keeping His word and providing. And I want to say right off, thank you to you folks, because He's used you in a huge way in all of that. All of you, but then some of you very specifically in some significant ways. And so thank you so much for your love and your prayers, your support. Let me just ask that you folks would really pray for our ministry even more. We would love to see the Lord open up some more doors in 2019. I have two revival meetings scheduled, but I'd really like to see that grow. We are pleased with what the Lord has given us for this year. We have, I think, seven multiple-day meetings, almost all revival meetings. One is a camp retreat, youth ministry. But we have a number of revival meetings scheduled for this year. So we're very excited about serving in those ways and going to those churches, to those places, and preaching and seeing the Lord work and people getting back to the basics of where they ought to be in their relationship with the Lord. So we're looking forward to those things. I did not schedule as many up this year as I could have because I thought I would be spending a little more time representing the camp. And here's some things that have happened then with that. Brother Fry came to me not too long ago and he said, Dan, we've been talking, the board was talking, and instead of you putting a lot of effort into going out for one Sunday, representing the camp, and then hauling your family all the way back to the camp and doing that on the weekends, it would be a lot more beneficial and easier on you if you would just schedule revival meetings and go. If you would just go and be an evangelist. And that was a relief for me to hear, because that helped me moving forward to really get more of a single focus. And so I just want to share with you folks, I'm encouraged. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in the coming year and years, just being more of an evangelist, not to diminish my role at the camp at all or that I want to be away from there. I want to be there as much as I can. We hate leaving. It's home there too. But my role for the camp is getting out and representing the camp. And the camp firmly believes if I just go and be an evangelist, that will happen. And it'll benefit the camp as well. And so we're looking forward to that more in the future, but we need prayer. And we need God to open those doors. And so I would ask for you to really take that as a matter of prayer and pray for our ministry. I would ask that you pray for us at least once a week, that the Lord would would lead us in the way He wants us to go and schedule the meetings and open the doors and build those relationships, those connections that exist out there that the Lord wants us to form. Excuse me. And so we ask for you to pray. Pray, pray, pray. And we're excited to see what the Lord will do. The Lord has done some things in my heart. I think back on our time when Brother Miller was here. And the messages, the Lord just really used those in my life. and specifically Philippians chapter 4. So I ask you to turn there a while. Philippians chapter 4. It was through our time of revival meetings back there in April this past year that the Lord did some things to this passage in my life and really helped me develop a new theme for my evangelistic ministry moving forward. And I really want to share that with you tonight. Over the last several weeks, 5 weeks, I think, to be exact, since the start of January, I've been very busy working on a new website for our ministry. And it went online yesterday or the day before. And this theme is built into that website. And I encourage you to go on there and check us out. It is brubakerministries.org. If you have a computer and able to do that, I know a lot of you already are on our mailing list, and I have to make an apology there. First of all, at 4 o'clock this morning, you received an email that you shouldn't have. So if you all check your email, you can just delete that because it was old information and that was not supposed to go out. In the launch of my new website, I forgot I had that set up and it automatically sent that out to you all, and I'm sorry. But I'm sorry that you haven't received more, because in the transition of putting this new website online and all that goes involved in that, you've not received a whole lot from the website. And so that is supposed to change here now that the new system is online. And we're excited about it. The Lord's burdened me for this theme and for evangelism and revival moving forward. And in Philippians chapter 4, the Lord's used this passage in my life, and I want to share some of these thoughts with you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. We'll start there. And I think all my messages this morning or today have been a little shorter, and this one's probably not going to be any different. This is just another simple message, simple thoughts about God and what He wants for our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then the verse the Lord's really been using in my heart, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." If you would go to our website, you would see those words there very big and bold, "all things through Christ." I firmly believe that. It goes along with the message we heard this morning. God is the correct answer. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I'd like to preach a message entitled this evening, "Conquering All Things Through Christ." Conquering all things through Christ. Let's pray. Lord, just some simple thoughts this evening, but profound in that, in how it can revive us and change our lives. Lord, You are the answer. And Lord, victory, conquering, is possible. Lord, the defeat doesn't have to be. Not when You are there and we are seeking and depending upon You. Lord, I pray that You would help us to take this powerful verse that You used Paul to give us, that we would be able to take these truths and use it this week when we're discouraged, or when we're tempted to think something we shouldn't or say something we shouldn't. Lord, we ask that You would bring these thoughts to our minds and that we would yield ourselves to Your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. let's look at the passage here again. Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the Philippian believers, and he said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein also ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." So remember, Paul is writing to the Philippian believers, and he's thanking them for their generosity. Paul was a traveling preacher. He often depended upon things that other people gave to him, and so he was writing some thank yous here and reminding them about how they were such a blessing to him. They had taken up a love offering. They had sent it his way, and they had done some things to meet his physical needs. And he's saying, "I rejoice in the Lord because of you. You have been a blessing to me." And referencing the fact that they really didn't have the ability to do that either, and he knew that. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of resources themselves, but yet they loved Paul and they were caring for him. And he knew that. He saw it. And then he said in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want." I'm not bringing all this up so that I can get more out of you. I'm not trying to pull some strings and give you a sob story. No, I want the glory to go to God. I'm rejoicing in the Lord because of you. Thank you, he's saying. And not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's pretty hard for me. Paul was in prison, and he said that. He was content. He was fine with God's will. I'm sure there were times when maybe he struggled and different things, but at the end of the day, he was able to say, "God has taught me, I have learned this lesson, and I'm content with whatever the Lord brings." Like I said, I don't know about you, but that's not something I can do. Actually, I do know about you. That's not something you can do either. It's something Paul couldn't do. And that's one of the main points I want to get across to all of us tonight. Conquering all things through Christ. Here in this passage, Paul was saying, "Boy, I've learned this very difficult but powerful lesson that I am able to be content, and God has taught me how to be abased, how to abound, and through all the different things that I've gone through, I've learned God is faithful, and I've learned that I can be content, and I've learned that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, it's verse 13 that I really want to focus on, and there's some statements made in verse 13 that I want to bring to our attention tonight. Number one, I want us to see the statement of denial. Number one, the statement of denial. You see, Paul said two words. He said, "I can." But Paul's powerful "I can" statement made here is impossible to make without an implied "I can't" statement, a statement of denial. You see, all of us need to recognize in our lives the "I can't" statement, that statement of denial. It's true, it doesn't actually say it there on the words of the page, but it's implied. Paul recognized when he said, "I can do all things through Christ," he was recognizing, "I can't do this. I can't be content. I can't get through prison. I can't preach. I can't witness. None of these things can I do." Otherwise, Paul would have written, "I can do all things through Paul, which strengtheneth me." But that's not what we read there. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And I want us to recognize this statement of denial tonight. We need to get to that point to where the "I can't" statement influences all our thinking. I mean, we go to work, we need to recognize, "I can't do this job today, but the Lord can." When we go to school, recognize, "I can't learn this algebra. I can't." When it comes to raising our children for the Lord, I can't raise my kids for the Lord. I can't. And the sooner I realize all these things and it influences all my thinking, the sooner I'm going to be on the right path. Now, that's not what the world will tell us, right? They'll say, you can do it. Follow your heart. Trust in your own strength. You know, put your best foot forward. And they have all these pep talks. And I was listening to this one show. It's one of these podcasts. And there's a lot of good stuff on there. But it irritates me because the guy all the time is talking about what you can do and you can make it. And there's a lot of good stuff that he has. But it's this wrong worldly philosophy. It's not what Paul taught here. And it's certainly not what God shows us throughout the whole Bible. Folks, we are helpless without God. God is the correct answer. It's not you and me. So we see number one here, a statement of denial. You see, Paul was able to learn to be content. He was able to preach, he was able to minister, all these things because he recognized he couldn't do it. He had learned to put absolutely no confidence in himself. I can't raise my children for the Lord. If they turn out for the Lord, it's only the grace of God that did it. It's the Lord who raised those children, not me. You can't teach a Sunday school lesson. You can't witness to your neighbor. You can't do your job at work and keep a Christian testimony. You, friend, I cannot do all these things. And the sooner that starts to influence our thinking, the better. Acceptance of the I can't statement is essential for the victory. You and I must stop claiming I can when we yet haven't learned the I can't. You see, Paul was able to say, I can, but it's only because he learned, I can't first. You and I are far from conquering all things until the I can't statement has begun to influence all of our thinking. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, it says, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose strength departeth from the Lord. Excuse me, I read that wrong. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. Psalm 33, verses 16 through 17, it says, There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Psalm 118, verses 8 through 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Often we read verses like that and we kind of apply it to putting confidence in other people. But another way to apply that is putting confidence in yourself. Because I'm man, you're man, you're human too. And the Bible says, don't put your confidence in man. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so number one, friends, we see this statement of denial. We see that Paul understood he could put absolutely no confidence in his own strength. I can't. That influenced his thinking. I believe that he went through his ministry, he went through to the synagogues, he went to prison, he went wherever the Lord led him, knowing, I have to depend upon Christ for this, because I'll mess it up. I won't be able to do this, I won't gain the victory, I won't be able to subdue my flesh and live in the victory that God wants me to, unless he does it through me. So number one, the statement of denial. Number two, though, is a very similar statement of dependence. Here we see that full acceptance of the I can't statement allows then for the recognition of the he can statement. You see, God can do it through you, friend. He wants to. He wants to channel His strength through me to preach and to minister. He wants to channel His power through your life to make a difference with the people that you interact with. He wants to channel His strength through you, friend, to gain the victory over that sin that has just held you back for many years. Maybe you've just been enslaved by a particular sin and you say, there's no way I can gain the victory. No, you can't, friend. But He can. The statement of dependence. God is looking for you and I to depend upon Him for everything. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, right? I love that God said, hey, it's really easy to please me. Just depend on me. Just put your faith in me. Just trust in me. Well, for what, God? Everything. Work tomorrow. The words that you're going to say, the thoughts you're going to think, the finances, the food, the raising the kids, anything. Trust me. Depend upon me. Because I can. God can. But I can't. Dan Brubaker can't. So the power for the victory is accessed by turning to Christ and depending upon His strength alone. And that then gives me several thoughts. It helps me to realize that I need to stop trying to be a good person. Could say it that way. I need to make up my mind that I'm going to stop this trying. If I just try a little harder to be faithful in this area of my life or that area of my life, then maybe I'll start to measure up what God wants me to be. And if I just try. No. I can't. And I've got to realize that it's time for me to stop trying to be that good person. God does not want our Christian lives to be this list of do's and don'ts and this 1-2-3 bullet list that I have to do my duty to be right with God. No. He doesn't want it to be a duty. That He wants it to be this love relationship. And I need to stop trying to be a good person. It doesn't mean I start being a bad person. No. But it means I start depending upon His strength to be a good person. To do the right thing. To following God's will. You see, it's like some people read this verse and they read it, verse 13, I can do all things. And they stop reading there. And then they go and try to do all things themselves. In their own strength. Friends, we have to stay far away from that worldly philosophy. Because I can't. And you can't. Stop trying to be a good person. Why? Because it says in verse 13, through Christ. Through Christ. That's the key. It's His strength. He can. But then also we need to, along with this, is then start taking God at His word. Start taking God at His word. That phrase has just been one that is kind of the Lord has used in my life recently. I just need to take God at His word and everything. He said it right there. He said it in that book that He would provide or that He would give me the message or that He would show me His will and He'd help me make the right decision and He would lead me. He said He would do it. So I need to take Him at His word and believe it. So stop trying to be a good person, friend, and start taking God at His word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And when I think of sin and temptation and struggles that I may have in my life, and I think, why can't I gain the victory? Hey, God told me that there's a way of escape. God promised that anytime I'm tempted, that He's already created a way that I can avoid that temptation, I can avoid falling into sin, and I can live in victory. He promised it's there. And so I need to take Him at His word and believe it. I need to be looking for that way of escape. And so I need to stop trying to be that good person. I need to start taking God at His word. And then also I need to start trusting in the power of Christ. Start trusting in the power of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's His strength that's doing it. That's not Dan Brubaker performing it until the day of Christ. That's not Dan Brubaker's ministry and making things happen and revival and all that. No, that is the power, the strength of Christ working through us, friends, to get something done for the glory of God. Start trusting in the power, the strength of Christ. Friends, the statement of denial, we have to learn that we can't do it. Number two, the statement of dependence, we have to learn that He can. And that's what Paul said. Not in those two words, but he said, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How is the church going to disciple people in this community? Evangelize people in this community? How are we going to do that? Well, we're not going to do that, but He will. If we depend upon Him, He will. How is your wayward child going to come back to the Lord? How are you going to make that happen, friend? You're not going to make it happen. But if you depend upon what God can do, if you depend upon His working in a person's heart, His strength, then it can happen. And it very well will happen. Because His power is limitless. Exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think. That's our God. And He wants to show His power, and that's what we need to trust in. The power of Christ. I believe Paul did that, or he would have never been able to say, I've learned to be content. I believe Paul learned to depend upon Christ through prison, through shipwreck, through preaching and mobs and beatings and all kinds of things. He depended upon the power of Christ working through him. The strength, that strength holding him up. It wasn't his legs holding him up and his muscles holding him up when he was being beaten and thrown into prison and all. It was the strength of Christ working through him, I believe. And so, number one, a statement of denial. Number two, a statement of dependence. And then finally, number three, the statement of deliverance. Here it says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things. All of it. It doesn't matter what it is. All, the Bible says. And it's not the Calvinistic all. I mean, this is everything. This is all things through Christ. And so that means there's no addiction that someone can be addicted to that can't be conquered through the power of Christ. There is no sin that cannot be gained the victory over. There is no thing that can hold back the power of Christ. All things, God said. All things, my friends, are conquerable through the power of Christ. There is deliverance. There may be something in your life right now that you just feel there is no victory in this area. There's no way that that person's heart will ever change, and whether I pray for them for 3 years or 30 years, they'll always seem to be the same. There's no way that this financial situation could ever change. It's just always going to be that way, it seems. And there's no way that this health situation could ever change. It just seems like this is what I need to be settled with now. Friends, let's not limit the power of God. God can do exceeding abundantly above. And friends, all things are conquerable through the power of Christ. There's deliverance. And Paul was trying to make that statement very crystal clear for us. All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm excited about the coming years and what the Lord has and ministry, and I want to see God do some great things here. I want to see the Lord do some great things in other churches. I want to see revival. I want to see revival in America, and I believe it can happen. I do. And I know you believe that too. I trust you do. And I want to see God's power at work, but I won't see that until I recognize that I can't do all that. I will not see God's great power and miracles happen until I start depending upon Him for it. And friends, I want to challenge you. You do the same. Let's all of us do that. Let's all live Philippians 4:13 and recognize we can't. But we can start saying, I can, when we start putting the power where it really is. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I ask that you would take this simple truth tonight, this powerful verse, and take it with us throughout this week. Oh Lord, we look to you for great things to be done. We look to you for miracles. We pray for them, Lord, and ask you even now for you to do mighty things. Lord, please be with our pastor. Please give him health. We ask that you would give it to him this week, that he would just feel revived and refreshed, that you would strengthen his spirit and his body, and that you would use our pastor, that you would work through him. Lord, I think he knows this lesson, but even now, teach him he can't, but you can. Lord, I pray for men in this room who have to go to work tomorrow and they're trying to follow you and make a living for their family. Lord, help them to know tomorrow morning that they can't do it and they need to depend on you. Lord, help the ladies in this room who are working hard to raise children for you and to meet their every needs all the time, and it seems like it never stops. Lord, help them to know tomorrow morning when they want a little more sleep that they can't do what they need to do that day, but you can through them. Lord, people who are serving in ministries here at church, Lord, help us to depend upon you. To get out of the way and let you work. We need you, Lord. And we ask these things for your glory because you are worthy of our entire lives. Amen.